Stephen, was that Admiral Zumwalt that you worked with?
Yes.
Ah, okay. I spent 9 years in the Navy and remember his name well, though he was before my time. He was in there with the Rickovers, that kind of reputation.
That's exactly right, yes. Yes, I was his speechwriter and a sort of in-house civilian think tank. And I knew Admiral Rickover and almost wrote a biography of him.
Rickover was a genius. I did get that book. Somebody did write a biography on
him. They did. The guy that was originally my researcher, Norman Pullmar, and another fellow, Tim Allen, who worked at Geographic, wrote it.
Not the comedian.
No. Well, very nice guy, but no, not the comedian.
Did Zumwalt ever admit to you about underwater UFO bases or anything like that?
No, but I will tell you something quite interesting. When I got into that post, when I was asked to do that, I decided that I would look at the Philadelphia experiment.
Aha! Tell me.
See whether it was for real or not.
What'd you find out?
Well, I mean, and I had the clearances I could get at stuff, and so I really looked into it. It never happened. That's the headline. What did happen was that the Navy became very concerned about magnetic mines, and they began running a series of tests at the Philadelphia Navy Yard. They built a degaussing wharf, which was basically big electromagnets, and they would take the ships through these magnetic fields with the idea that this would change their magnetic alignment.
Okay, all right.
Right, make them less susceptible to the mines. And, of course, somebody had to be aboard the ship. And in those days, we're speaking here in very early, people didn't really understand the effects that living organisms had when they were placed in big magnetic fields.
Right.
They just didn't know very much about it. And so there were cases of sailors on the skeleton crew that took the, I can't think of the name of the destroyer that was...
Eldridge. The Eldridge.
Right. And that took the Eldridge through. The story traces back to a man named Ivan Sanderson, whom I knew, and who used to write sort of popular books about paranormal
yes.
and sort of weird things.
He was one of the best at his time.
Yeah, he was very good. This is in the 50s, up in the early 60s. He's long dead now. And Ivan was told this story by somebody at the Pentagon who waved some sort of paper in front of him. Anyway, he was never very clear. And in those days when I first met him, I was much younger, and I couldn't press him but so hard. But anyway, the story traces to him. And he wrote it up, and then Charlie Berlitz, from the mm-hmm. son of the founder of the Berlitz School of
right.
Languages.
Who went on to write about the Bermuda Triangle.
That's right.
Like that. Yeah.
And Atlantis. Yeah, Charlie, who spoke 32 languages and was a very interesting guy, he picked up from Ivan, and he wrote a book about it, which popularized it even more.
I remember reading that book.
Yeah.
Drove me crazy. I loved it.
And then it... then it was picked up, and a television program was made about it. Rod Serling was involved with it. And it just sort of became an urban legend.
And then a movie.
Yeah, absolutely. So I climbed up inside of it. I got all of the original records, the logs of the Eldridge. I went and actually interviewed people who were in the Philadelphia Navy Yard at that time.
This is incredible. I mean, it happened, but not the way they say it happened.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. What happened was men did go through high energy magnetic fields. It did produce strange psychotic behaviors, as it does.
Yes.
There's now a whole literature on this. And
the ship didn't disappear.
Nobody walked through walls.
People didn't get meshed into the boat or anything like that.
Right.
The ship.